Hey guys, and welcome back to the podcast. In today's episode, I am extremely excited to have this guest speaker. I was drawn to Jackie, who is better known as the Open Water Woman on social media, purely because you guys know if you've followed me for long enough, whether it be via social media, whether it be via the podcast, or if you're a client, you will know that I have been almost obsessed with cold water therapy for as long as I can remember. And re in recent times, I have very much been thriving on being next to the water to live and getting into open water swimming. So I was instantly drawn to Jackie's Instagram and reached out to her the second that I did, to see if she would come onto the podcast. So, Jackie, would you like to just give a little introduction to yourself and yeah, the open water swimming that you do?
Sure. So, I was a runner forever because you cannot do that's what we do, isn't it,
Yeah.
mostly? And in about 2011, 2012, I had a hip problem and it was just unfixable. So I've exercised all my life. Just it's one of those things that just slots in and I've just always done it. And I thought I need to find something else. So a friend of mine suggested swimming. Of which I learned swim, but never actually swam at all other than that. So I thought, well, you know what, in for a penny, went to the pool and just fell in love with just swimming. So had a few lessons. And then my swim buddy, Andrea, who I worked with, she was a nurse at the secondary school I worked at, just said to me one day, should we just go and try open water swimming? And I thought, oh my days, whatever. And I was like, go on and I'll come for you. And that's how it began. We went to an introductory course to teach us about safety and understanding our body and the water and how to look after ourselves and who we were swimming with. And we were literally hooked from the off. And then from that very first time we went every week to this venue, which was about an hour from where we live. And then it went on from that. We then swam the Olympic Coniston. We then did some other events, did a 10K at the Great North Swim, which is one of the biggest swims in the country, if not the world. There's 10,000 swimmers there that swim that every June. And then I went on then, and I had so basically my kind of I started off sort of doing it slowly, and then about 7 years ago, I had surgery on both my feet. And we just booked swim the length of Windermere, and that was a point then when it was touch and go whether I'd be able to train enough. Anyway, it was fine and it all worked out fine. And at that point then is I started writing a blog about it. My son does media and he sort of set me up with everything. And he said, why don't you just write about your experience of going from being unable to walk for I couldn't walk for 12 weeks. They wouldn't allow it to then going on to do this massive swim. And I just started blogging about it, and then the social media kind of picked up, and then you know everything else, and then I swam. So we did that swim, and it was all great. Wrote a book about it, and then went on to do well. Did Windermere Two Way, and then the Channel Relay, and it sort of went on from there. And then about 5 years ago, we went. So we talk about the cold swimming. So it's pretty cold anyway, isn't it? You do get a little bit of that buzz when you get in. Started swimming through the winter and have continued every year from that year, and it never gets any easier, does it? It's a massive buzz, but it gets you when you get in. And so in January this year I then competed for Team GB at the International Ice Swimming Association event, which was over in Saint Ouen in France, and that's where we're up to. So we're up to that, but that's sort of the story so far. But then it's kind of I'm at a point now where I'm kind of like, what do I do next? But then I blooming well broke my elbow 4 weeks ago.
Oh
It sort of
my
stopped everything. It's
goodness.
amazing when you think about the joy it brings you, and then suddenly it's so frustrating that you can't actually do it anymore. It's like, oh.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So obviously, world of achievements with a bunch of injuries. So, what the first question I'm going to ask then is obviously with this podcast, there's 100 questions I could be asking in regards to the physical aspect, but I'll try and stick to what my clients listen to, and that is like sort of the mental benefits and things. So obviously you initially started this because you felt you could no longer pursue a sport that you were already doing, which was the cycling. Is that correct? Running?
Running.
Running.
Yeah.
Yeah, running. So we all know, like, people that are on my podcast, I've come from a fitness background. I went from being immensely overweight to a bodybuilding athlete. And when you go through an injury, it's bad enough having the physical setbacks, but it does hit you mentally because, it, like you say, if you're someone who is so used to being actively fit all of the time, it's difficult to separate the two. Did you find, before we actually dive into the benefits of cold water, but finding something new and something challenging, such as, because let's face it, as much as you went into swimming first, the cold water side of things, it is a challenge because you have to really push yourself to want to do that at the beginning anyway, because everything in your body tells you you don't want to do it.
I think I got to a point with I was devastated that I couldn't do it anymore, and I knew that I couldn't not ever not to do anything. It's part of, I grew up on a farm, I was an outdoor child. We ran, skip through fields, did everything, we've always been really active. And then to find out that something that you love, like to say, you can't do anymore, it's quite a blow and it's quite devastating. And so it was a case of finding something that was easy on my joints.
Yeah.
And so the indoor swimming in a pool, I was more than happy just to be able to exercise. It just felt really, really good. But interestingly, initially, it felt like I'd lost my first love, and like this was a new something I had to learn to love. And I felt at the beginning that I didn't really love it. I was forcing myself to love it because I just had to do something. And then it was only then when we did the open water swimming that I was like, oh my God, it's proper cold, and it felt exciting and scary at the same time, because you've got so many different, it's not just getting in a heated pool of 30 degrees, getting in, doing, it's like the difference between going out for a run or being on a treadmill, it's the same thing. And I think it just felt kind of, I don't know, the water's really soothing when you're outside, it's got soothing properties, it just calms you. So all that, oh my God, there's a fish, there's a weed, there's my own arms making me jump and all those things, it's still really, even if there's noise, it's really calming and kind of just settles you down. And I think that whole being in nature thing, suddenly it just kind of something clicked and it's like, oh, this is really something different. And to see, so it became from just swimming and exercise to suddenly being more than that. And then ditching the pool for the whole of summer and literally going to any body of water that you can swim in, just to not just experience the exercise, but to experience more.
Yeah.
And to have that, God, I'm describing literally well-being and breathing in fresh air and nature.
Yeah. So basically, as I like said at the start, what I've practiced for so long is cold water therapy. And I started off with the cold showers before I sort of dived into like open water and stuff. And I literally, so I was just at the International Fitness Summit down south a couple of weeks ago, and each morning there was a cold open water dip in the sea, like before the event started, but it was with the majority of the people who were going to the fitness summit, which I thought was great. And I came back and I was like, right, because I live next to the water, I've got a really beautiful view. I mean, I'm in Manchester, but I've picked the one place where when I look out I can virtually just see water. But I said to myself, right, the next place that I decide to move, I'm living next to the sea, so I can do more open water swimming first thing in the morning, because it makes such, like you say, it's not the same as, like, as I say, I've done cold water therapy for a long time. And I say to clients, like, when I get clients to do it, and it is part of when we start out, it's more like a mental challenge than anything else. It's not a case of staying in the cold water for X amount of time, because having a cold shower and being outside in the cold water, like you say, treadmill, outdoor running, like it's two very different experiences, but the same thing at the same time. That's more of the mental side of things. And now it's just because I prefer the cold water on my skin. Being outdoors, like you say, it's a product of your environment. It's teaching, it's, you feel more, it gives you, like the way that I had experienced it when I did the open water at the IFS, it felt revitalizing.
Yeah, I think immersing yourself in cold water, it increases the production of dopamine and serotonin and the beta endorphin. So it's your happy hormone, isn't it? So I think you can get out and you can get a real buzz from it. I mean, there's it's really important to stress that swimming in cold water, you need to practice it safely. It's dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. You have to understand it and know what you're doing and everything. But there is something, talking about that dopamine and that feeling, there's something called cross adaptation. So when you adapt to one stress, you can partially adopt the other. So the stress of being in the cold, over time, it learns to, through immersion of the cold, you can then, the stress adapter that lessens for another one as well. So if you were stressed and you got in and that stress of the cold on your body can then lessen another stress. And there's been a few studies now that have sort of, that are now proving, because it's been probably, I think with the boom of it all through lockdown, I think loads of people have really benefited and feel great because of it. And actually for some people, it's the only thing they could do because everything was closed. It was something else. And I think that only now, there is Professor Mike Tipton. He's a professor at Portsmouth University. He does all the immersion things, and he does loads of tests on how the body responds and reacts. He's really worth looking up if you've got the time. But he's looking into it because there's been so much anecdotal evidence, and now they're finding there's actual evidence. And there was a lady that they, I mean, don't quote me on the exacts of this, but there was one lady who had suffered from severe depression, and through immersion and them sort of reading her results and everything, she found that she felt much better because of it. So that's really, really promising.
Yeah.
That it's giving really great health benefits. And if you use the green space, it's free to a lot of people. If you can find a safe place to swim or to dunk or to dip or to do whatever you need to do to be in it, whether it's, you know, a cold shower, you've got an ice bath at home, or, you know, you live on a river's edge where it's safe to get in, it's free. And like I said, it's got soothing properties, it's calm. And you know, as well, for some people that are stressed out and for that well-being thing, I always think it's, I mean, we were chatting earlier, weren't we? And I was saying today that it's the anniversary of my best friend who died 5 years ago today. And one thing that somebody said to me that really, really sticks in my mind, I remember going for a swim just before she died. We knew she was dying, and it was obviously very emotional, and getting into the water. And my swim buddy, Andrew, who I'll mention again, and she said to me, just be mindful because I think you're going to feel a bit overwhelmed when you get in today. And sure enough, and bless her, she swam behind me. She'd normally be next to me just to give me a moment. And she said to me, she's a nurse, so that helps. So she said, you have to find another way or another outlet. So whether it's a journal, painting, knitting, swimming, whatever it is, to don't bottle up your grief, don't bottle up anger, don't bottle up those emotions that if you keep them inside, that they can manifest and they can work and find an outlet for them, whether it's cold swimming or something else. And it helps immensely. It's such, and particularly for me and for a lot of other people, swimming is just the loveliest thing to be able to do.
Yeah. And I guess the sort of question off the back of that, because again, a lot of people know me from, have followed me from the fitness aspect, but now obviously follow me for the mental aspect. Did you see a change? Because obviously, if there's anyone listening here that has potentially had an injury, and I mean, because like I say, I've got a lot of people that have potentially done bodybuilding in the past, and now due to injuries or changes in commitments to no longer do so, and they tend to find themselves a little bit lost. From the running to the swimming, do you feel that there's actually a difference, maybe not so much in the activity, but in the mental benefit in comparison?
I think so. From a perspective, is that obviously running is, I don't know the facts about the pressure on your knees and how many times it's, you know, when you're running, the impact is constantly on your joints and everything, and it's just constantly that pressure. My recommendation to anybody that's thinking about going in and swimming is, I think that technique is about 90% of getting it right. If you get a good technique, it's not about speed, it's not about speed. If you get a really good technique, you're never injury free, and you can't promise it, but you lessen the chances of having injury. It's like with any sport that you do, you learn on land, you learn how to do it properly. And then to lessen your injury. And I'd say it's the same with swimming, is we, you know, loads of people learn how to swim as a child. from a safety perspective, my mum and dad neither could swim, and made sure my brother and my sister and I were literally from the off, we were swimming, and we had lessons and what have you, to make sure that we didn't ever feel like they felt, but then didn't swim at all other than on holiday occasionally in the sea. So technique is really, really vital in so far as it lessens your injury. And also there's nothing nicer, I don't think, than being able to swim and glide through that water in an efficient and an effective way, that you feel like you can go faster. And because again, it's that whole, you know, when I did Windermere Two Way, the training for that was completely different from the World Championships, because that's an endurance 21 mile swim, and you just have to just keep going. I mean, I can turn my arm forever. I'm literally a diesel engine. I just keep going and going and going and going and going until you tell me the end's there. But training for the sprint is a completely different thing. You'll know yourself when you're asking something to do something a bit faster or a bit more difficult. Your technique goes out the window. You kind of like, you get there quicker, but you're like, how? I've gone from being efficient, effective, I glide across the water to literally looking like I'm drowning. And that's when injuries happen. So you've got to try and get your core in order and get all your training sorted in terms of technique and practicing. And then it just makes it more enjoyable. Having said that, I've got a friend that breaststrokes her way around the lake with a woolly hat on every single time, hats on, gloves on, wetsuit on, absolutely loves it. And so from a mental health perspective of just being in the cold compared to me, who has competed and wants, like, what's next, it's different. But I do also, I love just getting in, but equally I like knowing that I'm doing the best stroke that I can to lessen any injury, because if I'm injured from this, so you know, with my elbow, and also in September I found out I'd had a bad neck for a while, and I had an x-ray and found out I'd got a retrolisthesis in my neck, which is the backward slippage of one of my vertebrae. And it was, I was just devastated. I thought, I'm not going to be able to compete. I'm not going to be able to do it. I'd set my heart and got a place on the team. And again, it was just this other setback of like, oh my God, if I can't do this, what am I going to do? So then I'd kind of, I think we did the event in January, and I came back and I'm like, I need time off to recover. I kept thinking it's just me. That I'm doing something wrong here. Something's not working right. Maybe I need to train with somebody else, do whatever. So I had 5 weeks off of doing absolutely nothing other than walking my dog, and came back and it was still there. And it was like, just like, do I have to stop swimming now? Because it feels like that's aggravating. And I was just, again, heartbroken, and had to find a different way, different physiotherapist who was looking at it a bit differently, and how to get around it and my arm, and how do I start exercising again, because arms are pretty crucial when you do a front crawl. It felt back to square one again. And we were on holiday recently, and I had a moment of clarity where I was thinking, I was thinking, I don't want to compete anymore. I don't want to do these long distances. And it was a moment when I actually had a moment where I felt quite well in my neck. I'd had this physio that was a bit different, and I was like, gosh, it doesn't hurt for the first time in months and months and months. My arm's recovering. And suddenly I had a moment of, I do love competing. I do love the push. I do love the hardship. I love, as much as it's painful and long-winded and training, you know yourself, it's difficult. It's hard work sometimes. You've got to kind of go through hell to come out the other side sometimes, don't you? I like it. And so I was thinking, I'm going to wind it down, and this is my vessel. This is what I've got. I want it to last another 50 years, and I have to look after it.
Yeah.
And that moment of going, is pushing it like that, looking after it, or is it damaging it? And I think once you start to feel well again and you get yourself in order, you think, actually, I can do both. Because mentally, for me, the pushing it is just, I've done it for so long. And as much as I moan a bucket full at the time sometimes when I'm training, I do, I like it. It just gives me something. It gives me that buzz that I seem to need.
It's the sense of progression, isn't it? It's like, it's all fine well doing something that, like, I feel like we're very, very similar minded, that no matter what I do, I like to have a goal with it, because I like to feel like, even if it's, you know, it's just moving the pedestal that little bit further, so that each time I get to it, I know I've made progress. I know I'm pushing myself that little bit further. So that is super important. And I guess the sort of the last question, diving off of that, pardon the pun, is if
it
you
was
go
a good pun.
Didn't even mean it. I'm not that quick. I'm really not that is, of course, breath work. I feel like it's one of the things that people don't realize, that obviously the breath is super important for our nervous system, for everything. And it's one of the key elements that can, like you say, when you were talking about, if you can master how your body copes with stress in one element, you can kind of domino that into other areas. The breath is another key area here. And I feel like with cold water therapy, whether it be open water, whether it be shower, whether it be ice bath, if you can learn to master your breath when you're doing these things, it benefits you throughout, because you bring more awareness to your breath, don't you, than you would on the normal day to day.
I think that the one thing I've learned with the cold immersion is how I respond. And it's, I know that when you get in, and that the dangerous part, there's many dangerous parts of when you do the cold swim, because we do under 5 degrees, so it's exceedingly cold, and you can't be in for very long. I mean, I swim with, I'm in the ice swimming, I'm a sprinter of sorts. But there are those that do the ice mile and they do ice kilometers, and they are absolute machines. But make no mistake, they have trained and trained and trained year in, year in to get to the level that they can tolerate that cold. Now, I know what my limit and what my level is and where I'm comfortable, which is definitely the shorter distances. But one thing I know with certainty is that for me, getting into cold water, and this has taken probably the best part of 4 years to kind of get to, is I know I get into the lake and I get in up to my knees and I have a moment, because I know I know it's funny, isn't it? It's the best feeling ever, but the getting in bit torture some days.
Yeah.
But I know that for me, it's about 30 seconds long of that gasping.
Yeah.
And that's where it's kind of, that's why I always say to people, don't ever, ever, ever dive in when you're doing cold water stuff, because you do an involuntary breath in, because your body's going, what the heck are you doing? Get out. It's basically fight or flight. And so if you inhale water at that point, that's the most dangerous thing that you can do, because it goes straight to your lungs and it's secondary drowning. So my recommendation and my advice, and please, 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 if anybody's listening and wants to do it, to follow it, is do not put your head in the water to start off with. You've got to wait until that feeling passes, because otherwise it becomes a whole different thing. So going back to, so me, I put my knees in and I have a moment and I'm going, I know, I'm in my mind, I'm going, what are you doing? Right, come on, stop this. And then some people, they go in inch by inch by inch by inch by inch. And I know that I get my knees in and I'm like, right, we're good, we're in one piece. And I have to go, and I do heads up breaststroke, and I swim and I focus on nothing else but my breathing. I know that shallow, in that breath that you do of like, what the blazes are you doing? I know it will pass, and it takes about 30 seconds. So knowing that there's a procedure that your body's got to get used to it and adapt to your new environment, is if you know that's going to happen and you know it will pass, and you get to that point of pass, and then I have a moment of it's real calm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, then I get into my, right, what am I doing today? Am I going to do some front crawl and just crack on and do a bit of, because we do speed work obviously because of the racing, or am I just going to literally breaststroke my way around this and just look at the trees, look at the birds, look at the environment I'm in, and look out, feel grateful and lucky, and breathe it in, if you like. And I think that knowing that that's what's going to happen is comforting, to know that it will pass. And then, like you say, you're breathing then. You're not focused on your breathing so much, other than you're just enjoying filling your lungs with proper, fresh air.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you said about the advice about not dunking your head in, because, yeah, that was the next sort of the last question. Like I said, the last question was the last question, but it was if there was anyone listening who, again, my clients all do cold water therapy, and then most of them love it. But all of my clients do cold water therapy in the shower, not open water swimming. Apart from two of them do open water swimming. But if anyone was listening and decided they wanted to try it, what few pieces of advice could you give them in regards to, I feel like the safety has been covered, but yeah, anything to do with safety, but also the mental well-being of it. Like, what would you encourage them to do that could help with the benefits whilst they're doing it?
I think, so from a point of view of I say, we swim, you'll know this, the open water swimming community are the most amazing, amazing bunch of people. And I think they are a community of non-judgmental. In my experience, I've not met anybody who's nothing less than lovely. Everyone is just amazing, supportive, helpful, friendly, and look out for each other. So and I know a few people who go on their own and they didn't know anybody and they've become part of that. In the group I'm at, we all sit together. We all make sure everyone's okay. We check in on each other. I'd say, make sure you know and understand your own body and don't push yourself more than you are. And I think, well, you're the last person to recognize that you need to get out. So let people around you be aware of what your point is. So some people respond and behave differently. But I'd say just once you're in, and like you say, we've spoken about the safety, and I can't say enough how important it is. But get in and give it a go. Learn about it. Maybe go somewhere that's got a great safety team and go and educate yourself on how to be safe, and then go and give it a go. My recommendation is I know loads of people don't do it on their own, and I'm not against it. But I wouldn't, but people do. And that's fine. I don't have anything against it. That is just personal. But I would say, if you're going to do it for the first time or the first few times, please do it with, make sure someone's with you, watching you, and they can see, they can watch you, because they can help you and get you up. Because what you want is your experience, your first experiences, to be utterly amazing. Because the worst thing you can do is, if it's a bad experience, is you'll just not do it again, because you'll be frightened of repeating that. And one thing somebody once said to me, and I know some famous philosopher whose name escapes me, but this is like, every day the river's different. Every day you're a different person. Every day your conditions are different. And because of that, you know, the swim you have today will be different from the one you have tomorrow, even though it's the same experience and everything's happened. And I think so sometimes we have a great swim, we get out feeling absolutely buzzing. You could get in 3 days later and go, I just didn't feel it today. And that's fine. So don't give up on it, because some days you just feel, you get out and you're just not, it's just not for you. Go out, have a cup of tea with your mate, have a bit of cake, because that's part of it, right? Having a nice bit of cake or something sweet after, sit, have a chat, mull it over, talk to somebody, because there will be somebody who has absolutely been through that and gone, trust me, it's fine, you will forget. Get back in, give it another go, because it's just, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like I say, I cannot, like, I go on about it all the time about how much I love it. And that's why, like I say, I had to get you on for a chit chat, because you're far more experienced than what I am. And like I say, it's just a pleasure having you on, because it's nice to have a conversation with someone who is as passionate about it as you are and as experienced as you are. Because it's one thing to say that you enjoy a cold shower, it's totally another thing to say that, and open water, but to say that you're Team GB and doing all the bits that you're doing, even in the winter. I mean, that's exceptional.
Well, thank you. But I love it. It's not a chore to do it. It's just, I love it. Yeah, great.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I will not take any more of your time. Would you like to let anybody know where you are on social media, where they can find you, just if they want to ask you any questions, or just follow your social media?
Sure, thank you. I'm on Instagram, I'm Open Water Woman, and my blog is openwaterwoman@blogspot.co.uk. So my Instagram is usually, most days there'll be something on there, I thought, and the blogs are when I write them or when I do something, because the blogs are, I'll be really, really quick, the blogs are about just about an experience I might have. So if you read the blog, if you go back to the beginning, it's kind of an early stages of swimming and what I got up to and everything, because we always sort of try and see the light and the funny side of seeing a massive fish, and even though I'm still terrified, and try and find the funny and the joy in it all, which is what the blog's about. So it's all kind of really lighthearted, but it kind of does talk about experiences, and I know people have sort of said, God, that happened to me, and I love writing it. So there's two things. I've got a Facebook page, but everything's on Open Water Woman. If you look me up, I'm there. So but it'd be lovely to hear from anybody who would like some just some help, advice, anything and everything, I'm more than happy to share. I'm not a gatekeeper to anything. I'm happy to share training plans, everything. Quite happy.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Well, like I say, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast today. I am going to stop the recording there. But as always, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have, give it a little like and share it onto your stories. Share it to someone that you love or who potentially might like to hear this. And I will catch you all in the next episode.